Potlatch, a program about Alaska Natives for Alaska Natives. This week on Potlatch, an interview with Eskimo television host Mo Wassily, a report on the ATS-6 satellite and the loss of funds for the ATS-1 satellite.
Second Class City Councilman, your state aid to local government application forms have to be mailed to Department of Community and Regional Affairs in Juneau by October 15th. Remember, the deadline is October 15th.
Moses Wassily was born in Unapachuk and raised in Quetluk. He went to school in Mount Edgecombe. He studied at the Institute of American Indian Arts in New Mexico and at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. He worked 2 years in radio and television at KYUK and later for Calista, working as a communications supervisor. Mo and I talked about some differences in the Eskimo and white cultures.
Yeah, I think that the Eskimo people, the native people, have had enough exposure to watching other people work, where they could learn to do things by watching people doing them or listening, using their natural senses rather than studying about it in books and then saying, you know, coming out and saying, asking questions about it from people that already have the experience. I think that one of the biggest things that they've been able to do is pick up what they see and hear and be able to make their own hands, you know, do what they see happen. And that's traditionally a method of learning or education that you would call it, which is not education more so much of the mind but an education of more in a physical sense. And then your mind is not pushed so hard into learning different things. Like your system of education, you learn by reading a book and by studying, taking a test, passing the test, whereas in the traditional way of learning, you are given the time to make mistakes and to fail and to try again. The Eskimos have enough of a sense of humor to not really, you know, ridicule somebody when they make mistakes, which was something that I myself grew up and I myself experienced. Eskimo people, like I say, traditionally, they've been very patient. They've got patience built into them. So if you see somebody fall, you don't say that they're a failure. You just encourage them to continue on. And I think this, you might know this, you know, that a lot of the Eskimo people really spoil their kids, but spoiling them by giving them things is not the same as spoiling them by loving them, which is pretty much traditionally what the Eskimos have done. Is that they've all had a lot of passion for life and love. There's something that they've got the most of, even though they were considered by the white people as being poor financially. That's the biggest difference, I think, in the two cultures, is that you say, just because an Eskimo lives in a sod hut, he's poor. Just because he's living using his surroundings in the most natural way that you can.
I ask Mo how one can get more Eskimo people into radio and television.
You've got to use a different approach rather than the whole star ego type approach. Because when you're up performing, like when you're dancing or performing, people respect you because you're giving your best. You're giving your best performance, no matter how bad it is. So it's not so much of an ego thing. Because when you get done with a performance, you have performed an art, which is not like, not like being in front of a camera or being in front of a tape recorder or something like that, and you look back at it. If you listen to it, you can laugh at it, because you can see some of the things that you could have done better. But I think that the reason that the Native people have not been in this mass communications or mass media is because with everything going on, with all the culture shock, if you want to call it that, everything coming in all at once, and then adding the media on top of it, and especially satellite communications, which is pretty much what I'm involved in right now. And you try to explain some of the things that are happening. The only way that you can explain is by, say, giving them the tools to work with, rather than having a group of white people coming into a village and they say, okay, we want to film you, we want to interview you, we want to talk to you. Just giving them the tools that they need to do that and to do it their own way. But more important, to give them the time to learn so that they would be able to do it right.
Years ago, rocket expert Werner von Braun did not belong on a radio program about Alaska natives, but today he does. Sue Pittman went to Anchorage and brought back this report.
This spring, the National Aeronautics and Space Agency launched ATS-6, an experimental satellite with the capability to transmit television signals to low-cost antennas. NASA plans to conduct over 20 different experiments on ATS-6. Next spring, the satellite will be moved to India, where it will be used for experiments in education to 500,000 Indian villages. Alaska is conducting one portion of the 20 U.S. experiments on ATS-6. Four educational TV series are being aired on the satellite, as well as a number of experiments in providing better medical service to the bush. Fairchild Industries built the ATS-6 satellite, and a group of officers from Fairchild, including President Edward Ewell and Dr. Werner von Braun, Vice President for Engineering and Development, visited Alaska recently. At a press conference in Anchorage, Dr. von Braun offered some background on ATS-6 and its unique communications features.
Communication satellites, of course, are not new. Way back in 1960, the first communication satellite was demonstrated by NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Agency, and it took the form of a simple metallic balloon, a plastic balloon that was inflated in orbit. It was covered with a metallic surface that would bounce back radio waves aimed at the satellite. And since the satellite was at sufficient altitude that from its vantage point it could see simultaneously, say, North America and Europe, it served as a line of sight relay, somewhat like a very tall microwave tower mounted in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. After this first demonstration of a passive satellite, we called it ECHO, an active repeater satellite was put in orbit, which instead of this metallized balloon had a receiver-transmitter combination, a transponder in the satellite that received the incoming signal and boosted and amplified signal back to the ground. And then, as a very major step, the first successful synchronous satellite was orbited. A synchronous satellite is a satellite that goes up to an orbit of 22,300-mile altitude in the plane of the equator. It orbits from west to east, and at this altitude, the period of revolution of a satellite is exactly 24 hours. That means, of course, that as seen from the rotating Earth, the satellite comes to a standstill over a particular meridian of the Earth. 22,300 miles is 5.5 Earth radii away, so you can actually see about one-third of the entire globe from that altitude. Our satellite, ATS-6, built by Fairchild Industries, differs from these previous models in one very fundamental way. It is the first satellite that packs enough power in synchronous orbit to go directly into normal television sets. In other words, instead of asking for a $2 million ground station to receive the signal, we say the station should only cost a few thousand dollars and should be able to provide live television in a home or in a school or in a hospital. And the only unusual thing about that television set is that it requires an antenna dish of about 3 feet diameter that you can put outside of your window or on your roof.
The Fairchild Group visited several parts of Alaska, including Prudhoe Bay and Tanana, one of the ATS-6 experiment sites. Dr. von Braun talked about Fairchild's interest in seeing how well their satellite worked and gave an example.
The purpose of our trip here was to, of course, see for ourselves whether what we've been telling to ourselves, namely that a satellite with direct video capability to remote locations can do great things for people in the educational field, in the healthcare field, and other areas. But you have to see it in the real world to believe what you're seeing. We visited a small village west of Fairbanks day before yesterday, Tanana, visited both the school and the hospital there. Maybe I should give you a little illustration on what we witnessed there as a routine function. When we arrived in this town on our hospital, a little patient in Galena, a 6 or 7 year old girl, was brought before the television camera there in Galena to explain to the doctor in Tanana that she had kind of dislocated a joint in her thumb. And after looking at this hand that was displayed there in Tanana, the doctor promptly decided to get a specialist in Juneau, or rather from Alaska, from Anchorage, as I learned today, Dr. Holloway. So it's a matter of 30 seconds that the specialist was also on the horn. And then he would tell the little girl there in Galena, okay, raise your hand and wiggle that bad thumb, and raise the other hand and wiggle that thumb also, so we can see the difference. Now turn the hand around and do it again. After about a minute or two, the message was the thumb ought to go back into a splint for 2 more weeks to improve the healing process. And shortly thereafter, an electrocardiogram was produced that was taken in Galena of a patient, and the doctors were called in to see whether there has been any substantial change from an EKG taken a few weeks earlier. So this kind of service is now a reality. It is available to you.
But NASA's ATS-6 experimental satellite is not available to Alaskans indefinitely. At the end of this year, it is to be moved. Fairchild has another ATS-6 type satellite, a backup for the original, which was not needed because the initial launch was so successful. The Fairchild visit to Alaska was meant to find out how interested Alaska is in the type of service ATS-6 can provide. Ultimately, Fairchild would like to take the second satellite off the shelf and put it into operation, if they can find a group of users who can pay the bill and have sufficient interest to do so. In this light, Fairchild has invited Alaskans to attend a symposium at their Maryland plant on October 2nd and 3rd. They hope to develop a plan which might mean that this year's experimental TV to the bush will become a continuing service. This is Sue Pittman.
Volunteer fire departments in villages in unorganized borough. You can get revenue sharing money for a volunteer fire department in your village. Make sure you fill out your application forms and mail them to Department of Community and Regional Affairs in Juneau. Remember, the deadline is October 15th.
In recent years, health aides in some Alaska villages were able to communicate daily with doctors and regional hospitals hundreds of miles away. School children in these villages often spoke to children in other villages, children in other states, and even children in other countries. But the last day of September, the University of Alaska ended its participation in the project because funds had run out. Bush villages now face the prospect of losing some or all satellite service. Jim Milne of state-operated schools in Anchorage tells why this service ended.
The ATS-1, of course, is still available so far as the hardware is concerned. The satellite time is still available, and the receiving equipment in the schools is still available. What we've run out of is budget to run them with. And at this point, there is no commitment at all on the part of the state-operated schools to pick up that budget, which expired. We were operating under a grant from Title III out of Washington Direct, but that program has now expired, and after a visit here this last 10 days by Dr. Avins of that office, they've decided not to refund the experiment.
I asked Milne if Alaska Natives were consulted about the decision to end the satellite project.
I don't believe they discussed it with them at all. I think this was made on the basis of a standing rule they have not to fund programs beyond the fifth year.
I asked Milne if Alaska Natives could do anything to restore the service.
I think when we're talking about the small amount of money it would take to keep this service on the air, I think that there's no reason in the world why the Department of Education in Juneau couldn't arrange to pick it up. I think some strategic communication to the governor's office and to the Alaska Broadcasting Commission and to some of the legislators would probably cause something to happen. We're only talking about probably $10,000 to keep it on the air for the next few months while we juggle around trying to find some other alternate source of funding.
I asked if people could also request the federal government to reinstate the program.
That might be effective. I would suggest that such letters be directed to Dr. Avens, A-V-E-N-S, in care of the Title III, ESEA Title III, U.S. Office of Education, Washington, D.C. We'd like to certainly thank those people who have been manning the stations without pay this past 60 days in hopes of getting this thing straightened out. They have been doing it without any compensation whatever.
Daphne Gustafson was born near Nome. She belongs to the Fairbanks Native Association and is on the board of directors of the Tundra Times. She commented on the loss of this project.
First of all, I'm surprised that the funding has run out for the project and also that people have been working for 60 days or so with sheer dedication to see that the project is continuing. Many of us Native people who live in urban areas forget how important two-way communication is because we have the telephone, access to the doctors, really all of the conveniences here. We sometimes forget how isolated it is out far in the rural areas, in the villages, and how important the satellite project has been to people who are fortunate to have it in their communities. It also is surprising to me that with all of the equipment available, that the project could be stopped just because there is not $10,000 available to keep it running. As was suggested, it seems that a letter to the governor, to your legislators, to the ABC, to anyone requesting that the situation be addressed immediately would be helpful. I would ask all of you who have had service some direct benefit from the satellite project to write and say exactly what service, what you received from the project. Without your voice, it's hard for decision makers to know really how effective a program was. So it's really up to you to say how you feel about the termination of this project.
Little wheels spin and spin, big wheel turn around and around. Little wheels spin. wheel, turn round, round. Little wheel, spin and spin, big wheel, turn round, round. Little wheel, spin and spin, big wheel, turn round and around. Turn your back on weeds you've hoed, silly sinful sins you've sowed. Add your straw to the camel's load, pray like hell when the world explodes. Little wheel, spin and spin, big wheel, turn around and around. Little wheel, spin and spin, big wheel, turn around and around. Swing your girl, fiddler say, later on the piper pay. Do-si-do, swing and sway, dead will dance on Judgment Day.
Remember, this is your program. Tell us what you want to hear, and we'll try to get it for you. Write to KUAC, Fairbanks, Alaska.
Potlatch, produced in the studios of KUAC in College in cooperation with KTOO Juneau, KOTZ Kotzebue, and KYUK Bethel, under Title I of the Higher Education Act.